This is the one with Pop-Tarts and Eiffel Tower Redemption. What a weird week for Friday, February 16th, 2024.
Hi, everybody, it's Weird.
This is like crazy being here.
Really weird tales.
Well, I got a great show for you today with some wonderful weird stuff.
Hi, friends, I'm Scott. This is What a Weird Week, where we get you caught up on the weird news of the week. If you want a transcript or show notes, or if you want to subscribe to our podcast, visit shownotes.page, shownotes.page. Here's season 5, ep 7, first published Friday, February 16th, 2024.
10.
From NBC 9 News, two high school kids in Colorado have received scholarships to play Division I cornhole for Winthrop University. The athletes are very jacked about it, quoted as saying, it's groundbreaking. It's making history. Congratulations to Jackson and Gavin. At some point, professional cornhole became a thing. This was under the radar for me, and now also opportunities for young athletes to get an education on that cornhole scholarship. By the way, Winthrop University, South Carolina, United States of America, they are the first Division I school to offer cornhole scholarships. Here's another quote. This is from Jackson. It's super awesome to make history. And I mean, you guys, you can't argue with that. It really is super awesome to make history. There's a whole new college sport being thrown into the mix. Well, it's not a new sport, but Division I schools, it's new. And maybe it's something you could aspire to, or someone you know would aspire to, one of these cornhole scholarships. If they don't have cornhole where you're at, it's that lawn game where you throw a beanbag and try to get the beanbag in the beanbag hole. We don't have it where I am so much. We play washer toss more so around here, but that's, I think, the gist of cornhole, right? Get that beanbag in the beanbag hole. Go to your home, beanbag. Go to your home. That's me talking to the beanbag, asking the beanbag to go into the beanbag hole. That would be me in competitive cornhole. You get it. I'm sorry. You get it.
9.
The plague cat story. It was picked up by a lot of news orgs. It's a little scary at first and also weird. A person in Oregon who is infected with bubonic plague got the plague from their cat. That's what the experts are saying. It looks like it was from the cat. I'm not smart about history, you guys, but I seem to recall the Black Death being one of the nicknames of the bubonic plague. It was nicknamed the Black Death, not the happy disease or nothing to see here plague. Those are pretty cool names, but no, the Black Death. So to me, that seems quite serious. But this story is not as scary. What's good, the medical experts identified and treated the plague quickly. So they say, quote, very little risk to the community. I would have preferred zero risk, but I'll take very little. Up next is the very old wombat. This is the What a Weird Week show. We count down 10 weird news stories from the past week.
8.
Every week I like to include at least one story from Ben Hooper. I like to call him Hoops. And Hoops is the weird news bureau chief over at UPI. I don't know if that's really his title, but Hoops does the weird news beat. This week, Hoops had a story about a very old wombat. It's cool and it's weird. It's weird and it's cool. I mean, wombats. First time we've ever mentioned wombats on this program. The Guinness World Records folks have acknowledged this 34-year-old wombat at a zoo in Japan as the oldest wombat in the world. 34 years old, by some accounts, perhaps even 35. They have to double check. Could be 35 years old, this wombat. And if you're like me and you didn't know, is that good for a wombat? In the wild, they say wombats live between 5 and 15 years. So 35 years old, not too shabby, Wayne. Wayne, that's the wombat's name. Wayne the Wombat. He's a bit of a miracle.
7.
In case you missed it, maybe you don't celebrate Shrove Tuesday, Pancake Tuesday, but this past week it was Pancake Day. And folks in a place named Liberal, Kansas, really, lean into Pancake Day. They have this Pancake Day race that's been going on for 75 years. And also, this year they attempted a couple different pancake-themed world records. One of them is just a long line of pancakes, 920-something feet of pancakes, almost 3,000 pancakes lined up. That was a world record. That would be like taller than the Golden Gate Bridge, that many pancakes, 1.5 of the Space Needle in Seattle. See, for me, it helps. I have one of those brains where I cannot picture stuff. And it helps me in my mind's eye if I can see the pancakes next to a famous landmark, like the CN Tower in Toronto. They made enough pancakes to go halfway up the CN Tower. That's a lot of pancakes. Or enough pancakes to stretch across London's Tower Bridge to our friends in the UK, across Tower Bridge, and still have pancakes left over. That's how many pancakes they lined up, and that is a world record. The other one is the pancake flip. This one, you got to be a bit athletic for it. They have special rules about the size of the pancake and the size of the frying pan you use, but you start with a pancake in the frying pan, and you bend at the knees and give it the old heave-ho and flip that pancake into the air, and they attained a 32-foot height. The pancake was launched 32 feet into the air from the frying pan. That is a new world record. These are unofficial right now. They have to be, get the stamp of approval from the Guinness World Records folks. But way to go, liberal Kansas. Pancake greatness. Up next, the most controversial of the weird news stories that came out this week. What a weird week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. It's about weird news, you guys.
Six.
This one was all over the place on the late night shows, and every news network picked up the story of the stingray that is somehow pregnant. The stingray is in a tank with only sharks, no other stingrays, and so all the news orgs were reporting. What happened? Could it be? Did a shark impregnate a stingray? Which is impossible. Major news providers kept saying, maybe the stingray baby daddy is a shark. It seemed like none of them double-checked if it's possible, and it is not possible. And I think the aquarium must know this, right? I mean, you work at an aquarium, you probably know that, don't you? That a stingray and a shark can't make babies. Let me just say this. I don't care who the stingray is involved with romantically, but according to just the science of it, if a stingray and a shark enjoy briny love, there will not be some sort of stingray shark or sting shark that results. They would have to adopt. If they're happy together, that's great, but they will have to adopt their child. And if you work at an aquarium, didn't they know that? Are they just playing this up, some sort of mystery, whatever? I mean, listen, we're all out there hustling for the clicks, getting that social media clout and getting people to buy tickets to your venue. But it seems to me the aquarium went with the juicy headline. It worked. They got lots of attention this week. By the way, scientists who weighed in on it say it's rare, but stingrays don't need a baby daddy all the time to make little stingrays.
Five.
There's a piece of music that from beginning to end will take 639 years to complete. The song or the musical art piece, whatever you call it, it's set to be over in the year 2640. But it's in the news this week because there's an organ playing this song. It's 23 years into this long, long, slow song. But this week, they had a chord change. And so it made the news. It's been a couple of years since there was a chord change in this song. I cannot wait until they... Can you imagine the celebration once they get to the bridge? Hey? Hey, you guys? So, I don't know too much about the John Cage Organ Foundation. They're behind this performance. The music began in 2001. And again, it'll stop in the year 2640. I don't know very much about the late composer, John Cage. There is a song of his called 433, and it's just 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence. So that's, you know, that's something for art, people who appreciate art. This is happening in Germany. The song is being played, or the artwork, the musical piece being played in Germany. Sandbags are involved, which is interesting. So At first, they weren't sure if people had to play the song the whole time for all 639 years. And then they came up with the genius idea of placing sandbags on the keys and giving human fingers a chance to rest. Imagine if this was a gig that you got and then they fired you. They were like, sorry, we're going to replace you with a sandbag. It's not that you're not a great musician, but we can replace you with a sandbag in this particular song. That's got to hurt. Next is a heartwarming tale of sweet redemption. You're listening to the What a Weird Week program. It's weird news.
Four.
A wonderful tale of redemption this week. A follow-up to a story we talked about last week. The fellow who made the Eiffel Tower out of matchsticks. The fellow in France, his name's Richard. 700,000 matchsticks. It took years to make the thing. So much painstaking work, dedication. And it got to the world record height of 23 and a half feet and something. Then the Guinness World Records folks said it's disqualified because the matchsticks were bought wholesale instead of off the store shelf. That's me paraphrasing, but I think that was the rule. Anyway, the tale of redemption is the Guinness World Records folks have changed their mind. They've reversed their decision, and Richard in France does have the world record for the tallest Eiffel Tower made of matchsticks. It's a great story. It's a great tale of redemption. I look forward to the Hallmark holiday movie of Richard's life.
Three.
Another follow-up. In an episode we did a little while ago, we mentioned about Sir Winston Churchill's false teeth. They were going on auction. In case you missed it, these were the teeth he carried around with him. On occasion, he threw them across the room when he was frustrated. They were his speech-giving teeth. That's me paraphrasing a bit, but it's kind of the gist of it. Anyway, they sold for £18,000 at auction. So that's our follow-up. Actually, the headline from Sky News says that Churchill's teeth were snapped up. So, well done, Sky News. Good old snapping teeth headline. Next is another way that women are better than men. This time it involves emojis. Almost to the number one weird story of the week. This is the What a Weird Week show. A new study is in the news about emojis and how men cannot understand emojis as well as women. The researchers do have a theory on this. We'll touch on that in a sec. It's kind of a big survey. I think a good sample size, 500 men and women. I'm not a scientist. What do I know? 500 men and women surveyed, men and women from the UK and from China. They would be shown emojis and then quizzed on what emotion was being conveyed by the emoji. As a side note, one of the things they found out is British people have a harder time recognizing the disgusted face emoji. More research is needed on that one, but the working theory they have is that you friends in Britain are so used to keeping your emotions in check that you've lost the ability to register disgust when you see it on an emoji. That's what they think. Anyway, back to why women are better at figuring out emojis. Increased sensitivity is what researchers think. Women are oftentimes a primary caregiver in the early stages of a baby's life. And, you know, you got to figure out what emotion your baby's going through. That is important. Women become very skilled at that. And that could be why women have an emoji superpower. More and more research comes out indicating that I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm sending. When I send you an emoji, it could be completely wrong, and I may have offended you in a number of ways, and I am very sorry. I didn't know. It's just an eggplant. Honorable mention. This one is sort of a bittersweet honorable mention. This week we lost someone who brought joy to so many. Bill Post, who played a key role in introducing us to Pop-Tarts, passed away. He was 96. Pop-Tarts made their debut in 1964. You had four flavors then. Strawberry, still going strong. Blueberry, which I saw on the shelf the other day. Is that seasonal or all the time? Not sure. Brown sugar and cinnamon, classic. And apple currant. was the fourth flavor. That one did not stand up. In the article, Bill sounds like a humble fellow. The family mentions how Bill, a lot of times he was credited with inventing the Pop-Tart, but what he would say is he assembled an amazing team that developed a concept from Kellogg's. Anyway, not going to make any jokes or anything like that. Just wanted to mention, how do you feel about Apple Currant Pop-Tarts, though? Did somebody actually like that flavor at one point? What was life like in the days of the Apple Currant Pop-Tart? I guess we'll never know until, you know, time travel. Hang on, our number one story. It's a food story. It's one of these foods that may save us all. It's next. Catch up on the weird news of the week with What a Weird Week. That's this show, this program, you guys.
One.
Meat rice is in the news. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's meat grown inside rice. Essentially, it's a hybrid food invented by scientists that is rice with meat inside. It is apparently very nutritious or rich in nutrition or however. I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say. I make no claims. But the article refers to it as rich in nutrition. It's one of these foods that could save us all. It's pink in the pictures, and it's mostly, I would say, rice-like based on the pictures. In case you missed it, science believes that if they can grow meat, if we can somehow get the nutrition of meat without using a lot of land as farmland, that'll help fix climate change and ensure that all us humans get enough food to eat. But how does it taste? None of the articles I saw really get into how it tastes. They talk about texture a bit. It behaves mostly like rice, sticky rice. So if you're more about texture, you know how some foods you're just like, I can't eat it, the texture gets to me, or I love this food, it doesn't taste like anything, but what a wonderful texture. If that's you, let's not even worry about it. You slather on some bacon fat and you get yourself a wonderful bowl of meat rice. Or it doesn't have to be bacon fat, whatever your go-to topping is. You can't buy it at the store yet, so to be continued. What if you could, though? What if you could go to the someday, maybe we'll be going to the store, and we'll get a big old box of Minute Rice, Minute Meat. Minute Meat has a ring to it, eh? And we'll all be saved, you guys, so that's, I like to end on a happy note. So that's this week's What a Weird Week program. If you want the transcript or show notes or anything like that, all the stuff we talk about is at shownotes.page or search What a Weird Week wherever you get podcasts. You can also catch us on Funhouse Radio on weekends. We're part of the weekend programming. Just ask your smart speaker to play Funhouse Radio. Appreciate you tuning in on the live stream, you guys. See you next week for another countdown of weird news.